free. Oh, wow, what a day. Erica Kahn is with us, as always. Erica, you there? Can you hear me okay?
I'm here, Jeff.
Welcome back. All right.
Thank you.
What we're going to do is continue what we Erica was amazing Monday. We got into this cancer thing. I kind of called it super cancer or hyper cancer, but there's a new creature on the block, and it's called cancer, but it's not like normal cancer. This cancer is voracious. It is consuming people like there's no tomorrow. And for many of them, there isn't. Now, we played a video last week, a lot of excerpts from Del Bigtree's High Wire with Dr. Ryan Cole. We're going to do a little bit of that in just a minute or two and just kind of recap that to open the door back up again. Now, what you talked about last week was critically important. What we are going to talk about tonight is even more expository in what is going on, how it works, how this so-called, it's a goddamn bioweapon. Quit calling it a vaccine. I hate even calling it vax. It's a bioweapon, and it's killing people, and it's going to kill a hell of a lot more people very soon, and you're going to see the beginning of this massive wave this month. We're already seeing it. Anything new that you want to just add to that about cancer and your discoveries and the work you've been doing last week since, last 2 days rather, since we talked on Monday? It's continuing to get worse, isn't it?
Yeah, it's every time you look at this thing, it's just one more way that, supports the genocide. They left no stone unturned. The aggressiveness of the cancers that are turning up in individuals who have chosen to get this injection are tying in with some of the endocrine disorders that we're seeing. And there's a significant pathway, if I'm correct about this, that's being very deregulated, and it's just, I mean, the whole body's being affected by these. The genetic material in these vaccines, along with the protein that people are being forced to produce upon getting the vaccine, or sorry, the injections. Everything
it's
is
okay.
Just
it's don't worry about it. Look, we all know we know what it is. It's a killer. It's a bioweapon. It's very simple. This is also incredibly sophisticated. It seems to have more and more facets of achieving its goal, and that's the death of humankind. Is that an exaggeration?
No, it's these will not only genetically modify the human organism, but very likely lead to its demise in a short period of time.
Ryan Cole, last week, it seems like a week ago. It was just 2 days ago. Made a lot of very good comments about this on Dell's program, and I'm going to play just a little bit of that, and then we're going to jump in. Eric is going to explain some of the mechanism by which this super cancer is spreading all over the place. And we're talking about an astonishing speed of kill. This is not a 5 or 10 year process. This is remarkable. All right, let's see if I've got this queued up approximately right. This is Dr. Ryan Cole. He's in Boise, Idaho, and he was a guest on Big Tree's program. And I think he kind of wrapped it up pretty well, so I wanted to go back and revisit that just a little bit. So let me see if I can find this. I think I can. Well, we'll just join it in progress. Here we go.
Seeing that same early signal. And when you see an early signal, it behooves the scientific community not to fight, not to be at odds with each other. Science is neutral. Science isn't political. Science is science. And we need to look at the signals, follow those patterns. And that's what pathologists do. We tend to be the first ones to see concerning patterns. And we bring our minds together, we bring the studies together, and we do the science. And if what we're seeing bears out, well, then we proved it. And if it doesn't, well, then we prove the opposite. But using that scientific method, you have to be neutral and follow where the data goes. And right now the data, it has a signal. And all of those individuals calling, the ones you've interviewed, the ones who have those patient cohorts, saying something is wrong here. And then the cool thing about being a nerdy pathologist is we can look at those and go, okay, and here is why. And so that's what I'm trying to do in conjunction with my colleagues, is say, yes, that mechanism is bearing sway on all of these outcomes. And if that's the case, then again, we need to be very cautious what we're doing before we keep pushing this onto populations that survive at the rates you already showed a little bit ago.
Yeah.
Because it's that risk benefit analysis. And if the risk outweighs that benefit by multiple fold, then we need to be prudent and pull back.
What is the culture like for, you know, scientists, doctors like yourself? Peter Doshi, we played earlier.
This is a very important part. It's the final part. It has to do with the general culture and the medical scientific community, which ought to be leading the way to free us all from the threat of this bioweapon. But what's going on there? All right, now listen, this is very important.
During the FDA discussion over the booster shot, very, I think, rightfully pointed out, here there's a culture where there's been multiple states that are now bringing sanctions, perhaps removal of licenses against doctors they claim are spreading misinformation. It seems to me that virtually every statement that the vaccine might cause harm is listed by Facebook and Twitter, who are now, I guess, the new harbingers of science and facts. But what is it like for you? Has it changed? Because it seems like you used to just get to be a geeky scientist in a room in a lab, looking through a microscope. Nobody bothered. You're allowed to ask any question you want. It seemed like there was freedom there. Do you feel like it looks like a full contact sport? You're like literally under attack if you want to ask what should have been obvious questions. Do you feel that shift in science right now?
100%. Everything has to be, well, the consensus is, or the guideline is, but I always smile and say, my Patton quote, General George Patton, if everybody's thinking alike, then somebody isn't thinking. And,
right.
And the ability to question, the ability to have dialogue, the ability to hypothesize, to be right, to be wrong, that's real science. But to have a beating drum of this and this and this and this only, and you can't question it, and then they say misinformation, disinformation, and I've been attacked in world sources now for just bringing up a different point of view. And for years, I would have been able to bring up a question. Someone would have said, huh, that's a dumb question, or that's a smart question, or an interesting question, or a question I don't care about. Nobody would have cared. But because there's this consortium of consensus that ignores science or even the scientific query, is really disheartening in the profession. And then people go after your, professional credentials and standards, trying to, discredit you, when all you're trying to do is bring people together to say, look, let's look at this at more ways than one. Let's come together. If you have a criticism, wonderful. Let's bring data and papers together. Let's be scientists together. Let's find answers for the benefit of humanity and the patients together. Let's do no harm. If there is harm, let's stop the harm. If there's benefit, let's find the benefit. But to be questioned constantly and attacked constantly for only wanting to help humanity is just a bizarre feeling and sensation in this time and age.
A consortium of consensus. You heard, if you're listening, you heard very clearly Ryan Cole was describing now that there is tyranny in the scientific medical community that is bearing down on everyone who would go against the grain. And that's very clear, and that's very sad to see, but it's there. These people are being very careful with the words they choose now. And after today, with Google, YouTube, same company, getting rid of Dr. Joseph Mercola, he's gone. Others are gone. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is gone. They will not allow anything on YouTube that questions what the kill shot administrators want us to know or want us to think. And that's the truth. All right. Peptin. Kiss Peptin. That's not a request. It's the name. KISS Peptin. It's a critical regulatory, it's a protein. It's a critical regulatory protein. KISS Peptins. Tell us about that and how that figures into this explosion of cancer.
Okay, so yeah, this is, we may be getting somewhere in deciphering these mostly menstrual issues that females are experiencing, because kisspeptin is a critical regulatory molecule. It's a hormone that is responsible for regulating your reproductive physiology, all the hormone feedback loops, levels of hormones, when puberty is initiated, when it stops. Kisspeptin is a critical molecule, signaling molecule, involved in that process. But curiously, it's also very involved in whether or not a tumor cell metastasizes. And it has a second name known as metastin. And when this is dysregulated because there's something overriding or influencing its proper expression or interfering with its signaling pathways, then yes, you can have very aggressive cancers. So clearly, there's a tie-in here that needs further investigation to see if this is what's happening. But I don't think it's a coincidence that we're seeing these irregularities in women's menstrual cycles. I mean, we're seeing young females menstruating. We're seeing
how young are we talking about?
Oh, there were reports of at least one that I saw that was an infant that had some spotting.
What?
An infant?
Yes.
But no, young girls that shouldn't be are, and then conversely, we have the opposite. We have women in their 30s going through menopause. So there's something
that's
happening.
That's the end of the line. Menopause, that's the end of the line. They're not going to just in 6 months turn back around and go back on a normal cycle. They're done. Is that what you're saying?
It appears so. There are instances where injections of certain kisspeptins can jumpstart the cycle again. But prior to that, they've been bleeding heavily, sometimes nonstop for months, maybe using up their ovarian reserve. We don't know. But it's clear that these injections are altering the molecular signaling happening, you know, between these various glands. And now it's implicated in probably these aggressive cancers.
There's a lot of destruction going on in the human physiology. This
nanotechnology and these gene therapies, this is nothing to be playing around with on a grand scale. Unless there's another agenda.
There sure as hell is. They have the biggest, they have a worldwide group of lab rats to play around with. They're watching everything. They know what's going on. And I think, as you've told me many times, they're playing around and altering the batches. They're changing them and they're tracking them and they're watching. They're playing.
Yep.
Remember, all of you, we've looked at the patents. The patents are written so they don't have to put everything in the patent that's in the actual bioweapon. They can just leave. It says contains, but is not limited to colon. Contains, but not limited to colon. And then they'll list 8 or 10 ingredients. Pertains, contains, but is not limited to. That means at the end of the 8 ingredients that they do list, they can put anything they want at any time into this so-called vaccine. It's wide open.
Yep. And then now they've got a license to kill, essentially. There's no liability for anybody getting these, or anybody administering these injections. And there's no recourse for people who have gotten them and become injured.
Oh, my. Okay, the injuries that people are suffering. In Slovenia today, they gave a 20-year-old woman, I don't know which, Johnson & Johnson. I think it's a one-shot deal. It's a one-off. She got her shot. She died almost immediately. Blood clots and bleeding in the brain. Brain bleeding and blood clots. Killed her, 20 years old. So Slovenia has stopped, frozen, all use of J&J in Slovenia. Well, you watch, that'll be turned back on in a week or two when they do an alleged investigation. They'll do a cursory this or that. A couple of million will change hands. And that'll be the end of that stoppage. It's just all money. It's all money. Remember, Pfizer has probably knocked down over $100 billion net profit this year already. That's just one of the companies. Now they're bringing out their two pills a day. Oh, if you took our shots, you got to have two pills a day. This serious. This is what they're doing, friends, if you didn't hear. Two pills a day. And the boosters, I think they have boosters now being offered in Walmart stores. I got a call from Gary Holland today. I'm pretty sure that's what he told me. Booster shots in Walmart stores. And they had a person dressed up in a clown suit running around Walmart. Did you get your booster yet? Did you get your booster yet? So this is mass marketing. It's just garbage what they're throwing at people. God only knows what's in the boosters. It's probably the cleanup in case anybody got saline early on, or it'll trigger something that was laced into the system early on. We'll see. It's just getting worse by the day. All right. Anything else you want to pop in here on that? The Kisspeptin.
Well, I guess the next question is it limited to the people who have gotten the vax, or is this something that's transmissible? I mean, clearly we're seeing bystander effects with the menstruating bleeding issues in women. Women who have not gotten vaxxed but are spending time in the presence of people who have been vaxxed are also getting the same symptoms. The next question is, okay, if it's Kisspeptin, these Kisspeptins are involved in that part of this adverse effect, are they also inducing a susceptibility to cancer in the unvaxxed? What exactly is being transmitted, or what exactly is causing the dysregulation in that Kisspeptin pathway?
Right.
Is it the mRNA, or is it the spike protein? The more we look at this spike protein, the more you can see that it doesn't just interact with the ACE2 receptor. It interacts with all kinds of receptors in the body, including platelets, including endothelial cells, including brain cells, including liver cells. It goes on and on. So does it also interact with the receptor for Kisspeptins? Does it block it? Does it activate it?
We'll never know
because they're not going to look at it.
No, we won't. Are these spike proteins, let me think, are they carefully constructed to achieve all these horrible results? Or is it something that is just kind of a rogue thing that they threw out in the system that goes around just damaging all kinds of body functions?
It's a heavily glycosylated protein, meaning it has a lot of sugars on it, so that gives it an opportunity to interact with a lot of different proteins in your body, receptors, proteins. So yeah, it itself can induce biological signaling just by virtue of that, and then you add in this ability to dock on to various receptors and then activate signaling that way.
Mm-hmm. I talked to a doctor today in the Midwest, and He told me about an unvaxxed couple. I mentioned this, I think, earlier. Unvaxxed couple. The guy got sick. He was obviously around some vaccinated people. He got spiked. He was very sick in bed for apparently days. His girlfriend or wife, I don't know what it was, she didn't get vaxxed either. She got sick from him. Now, what does that tell you? What does that suggest to us? Erica, what's it suggest? Now, we're supposedly dealing with a spike protein that doesn't replicate. So what's going on here?
Well, clearly something's being transmitted. And, you know, we don't often talk about the potential or the possibility of these chimeric viruses that are forming within people. Because you've introduced a transgene, a foreign gene, into the body. Yes, it will alter some of your cells, but it's going to alter the viruses that are existing within your body, viruses, bacteria. And so they replicate with this new gene, and then they can enter the environment and be picked up by somebody else and responded to in various ways.
Wow. All right. So
these chimeric viruses, I would not discount that possibility. You know, we could have a flu virus that's endowed with a spike protein now. We can have, well, certainly adenoviruses that are very hardy when they're shed into the environment. If somebody is replicating these adenoviruses from the vaccine, even though they're not supposed to be replication competent.
Not supposed to, yeah.
There's evidence that they are.
Yeah. You mentioned this. This whole thing of a chimeric virus many months ago. No one else, I've never heard it mentioned anywhere else. Is anyone else picking up this concept? I mean, it's right there in front of them.
In research circles, yes, but not over the internet. No.
No media
docs. I have not heard
docs.
Of any.
No.
No.
Okay. All right. We'll get to some very interesting things that'll follow up on this. It'll just knock you over in a couple minutes. This is a social media post. I'm a universal blood donor. I often get texts and emails about blood drives being held nearby. They are requesting my O blood to help those in need. I don't donate as often as I would like. Oftentimes I open the Red Cross app, and I either have to work that day that the drive is being held near me, or the appointments are all full. However, today I believe I had one of those God-designated moments. I again received a text from the Red Cross, and when I opened the link, there was a drive 15 minutes away with an appointment time in 20 minutes. So I booked the appointment and started out the door. The phlebotomist was a very pleasant lady, and we chatted about the weather and so on. I then questioned the machine that was sitting across from me. She asked about it. It was a machine that takes power red, they call them power red donations. With a power red donation, one can donate nearly twice the amount of red blood cells. They remove your blood and filter out the red cells and give you back your plasma and platelets. I asked how long it took to donate power red, and she replied that it's a weight-based and sensitive that even if you bump into the machine, it will beep and alert. So it's a weighty machine, very sensitive. She said that the gentleman who donated earlier had a higher hemoglobin level, so it didn't take him as long. Being that my hematology knowledge is rusty, I also questioned that. She said she has seen people with much higher iron levels lately. Iron. As she said this, she gave me a look that made me question again. And I said, because of the VID, because of the vaccine. She gave me
COVID, vid.
Vid. She gave me a slight shake of her head. Because of the shot, I asked, and she nodded. The so-called vax. She stated she has seen a dramatic increase in blood. She stated she has seen a dramatic increase in clotting. The Power Red machine beeps more as clots are setting off alerts. She has seen clots in the bags when the donation is complete, and even has had clots stringing from the 16-gauge needle as she pulls it out of a donor's arm. I questioned, how often are you seeing these clots? The answer was about half of those who received the shot. I share this information because I believe I was in that donation chair to help be a voice. If you have taken the shot, maybe a call to your family doctor to see if they would check a D-dimer would benefit you. A D-dimer will determine if you have any clotting going on in your system. Donate Blood gives you a T-shirt as well. She's smiling about that. All right, here's an addendum to this. My husband's vaccinated coworker gave blood the other day. Blood stopped flowing. So they pulled the needle and a huge clot came out of his arm. Everything is stated right here and it's all insane. Here's one more. One of my client's son, a 34-year-old healthy guy, has to donate blood weekly because he's producing too much iron or red blood cells. He donates and they throw it all away. He's charged $150 a time because insurance will not cover it. He took the shot a few days before he got a clot in his head, too. So this is really crazy what's going on in the human body. People are clotting everywhere. You can't donate blood, and nor should you if you've been vaccinated. That's just me talking. It's dangerous, but it's too late. The blood's already mixed. It's already toxified. It's got, I'll bet it has spike protein and mRNA in it all over the place. Any comments on that?
Oh, it's just shocking. You just wonder, how are these people even still alive? I mean, the blood is such poor quality. It's...
Quality? Go to guests. Look under Erica's name. It's at the bottom. Take the link. Shocking huge clots from dialysis patient and the big differences in blood donation samples. Take a look. So take that link. Shocking huge clots from dialysis patient. Let's look at that first. All right. Take a look. What do we see there, Erica?
Well, there's a lot of tubing. And there's a towel that looks like, well, it's like somebody's innards, but it's actually one big long clot that apparently came out of the tube.
So they laid that towel down there, took a tube, or the phlebotomist did, or whoever was running the dialysis machine, and looks like they either pulled it out or squeezed it out of the tube. That clot was inside one of those tubes. Now, how can a reasonable dialysis treatment take place with clotting that enormous in a tube? Can the system even work? I don't know. I'm not an expert. I'm just asking questions. And if those clots are in somebody's bloodstream floating around, is that what it is? Or were they somehow formed by the process of the dialysis machine? In any case, that person is in big trouble.
Yeah, I can't imagine they're long for this planet. That's horrific.
Look at the clots. And I don't mean to be dwelling on something that's unpleasant, but my God, look at the clots. Now, that's the kind of thing that I read about in the little testimonial a minute ago, where they said they pulled the needle out of the blood donor's arm and a big clot came out. That's mm-hmm. the kind of thing that came out of somebody's large vein. And sticking a needle in there didn't make it happen. It was already there. Now, we've seen, and this is a vaxxed person, I don't want you to get that wrong, this clot came out of somebody who had been vaccinated. But we've seen dark field microscopy showing the blood of vaxxed and unvaxxed people. And then we've seen it showing the blood of a person who is just an innocent bystander. And that blood in that person had clearly been negatively impacted. The blood cells were all stuck together in long trains. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, there's evidence that people are having these heart palpitations after being around the vaxxed, breathing issues. I mean, we've read a number of accounts describing that. So the blood suffering almost just as much as if the person had been vaxxed. It doesn't seem to be limited to just the vaxxed now.
I have a neighbor. I hadn't talked to him in several days. I called over there today and found out he has been sick for 3 days in bed. He can't get out of bed. No vax. He simply was going around to garage sales, mixing with vaxxed people, and he got spiked. And I said, how do you feel? He said, I ache horribly from head to foot. I have pains all around my heart. Not good. Pains in his kidneys. Not good. So, and he has just been spiked. He didn't get the vax. And understand earlier that the other couple that the doctor told me about, we have firsthand shedding into the husband or the boyfriend, and then apparently secondhand shedding from him to her.
So, yeah, I've known of similar cases like that. Again, is it spike protein or is it chimeric viruses?
I don't know. Let's scroll down that page below the clot, and don't forget that. I know you won't. There are two blood donations you'll see in the next picture. The typical plastic bags. They're different. What's different about them? Look at the one on the left. Look how the rubber band constricts the center. Looks flexible. It's got much more oxygen in the hemoglobin there. You can see it's red. Look at the one on the right. What color is that? Now look up at the clots and the picture above. That's the color it is. It's dark, dark, damn near
burgundy.
Black.
Yeah.
And look at the rubber band. Do you see how that's stretched out? It isn't constricting on the bag. That would suggest that that volume of blood, whatever it is, a half liter, I don't know what it is somehow thick and it's pushing back like the clots. I'm not saying it's all clotted. I'm saying it doesn't look anything like the bag on the left. That's a normal blood donation.
Yeah, it doesn't look like there's a lot of oxygen carrying capacity in the one on the right.
How do people with blood like that survive, Erica? I mean,
I don't think they're going to. I mean, they're having problems. They you know, between the clotting. And now this cancer thing, I mean, obviously blood that cannot carry oxygen to the tissues is going to deprive them from oxygen and set the stage for cancer.
I think maybe we'll call it super cancer. That's what it is. It's just out of control. And it's not just one kind. We did make mention early on of leukemias. These were not just the normal leukemia. These were acute leukemia that just popped up in people.
And very aggressive.
Totally.
These people were dead within a matter of weeks. So it does seem as though cancer is written into the script here with these injections.
Right.
In more than one way. I mean, we know that the spike protein, the S1 portion of the spike protein, interacts with the P53 gene protein, and that is, you know, alterations in that gene are present in 50% of all cancers.
And what was that you said about the mass? Like mastec, not mass.
MAPK? MAPK pathway? That's a highly inflammatory pathway that also drives cancer. And that is implicated with these injections as well.
And there was something about it sounded like metastasize.
So these kisspeptins, it goes by another name, metastin, the metastin or KIS1. Yes, low levels of kisspeptin are associated with aggressive cancers, metastases.
Okay. Wow. No, I don't hear anybody else pushing into these areas. Are you seeing it online? These are critically important areas. Now, they get a little complicated, I understand that. But the bottom line explanation is either the spike protein or the mRNA or some other nano substance or machine is in there causing not havoc, it's terminal. It is terminally interfering.
Totally dysregulating your regulation of protein, the regulation of your genes in favor of producing this foreign protein for an indefinite period of time. You know, they'd have you producing this thing forever if it were up to them. But just in case you don't, they're going to keep giving you boosters. And every time you do this, you're overriding your own physiology, your own regulatory pathways. So you're going to have consequences.
Terminal consequences.
We
don't know how many people are dying. We can guess. I've guessed a million, and I got to give credit where credit's due. Gary Holland said this is no. You got to multiply this by 100. It's way off. So let's assume that over a million Americans have been murdered by Fauci, the FDA, and the CDC, and Pfizer and Moderna. And others. And everybody's sticking a needle into somebody's arm with that bioweapon in it, in my opinion, is tangentially guilty of part of that murder. Accessory to murder. Because I guarantee you there are a lot of them who know damn good and well what they're doing is not good for the person getting the shot. I know it. They're not stupid. They hear.
Yeah.
They talk. They gossip.
Yep, they're willing participants, complicit.
All right, here's a little. I'm going to play a couple clips from the latest Dr. Tenpenny and Dr. Pilevsky episode number 63. They're pretty good. Here's Dr. Lee Merritt. Let's see if I've got the time right here. Trying to juggle these things is not easy. 8. Oh, and Dr. Tenpenny, by the way. Oh, let me do this. There is an attorney named Dr. Thomas Renz. You want to tell people generally what he's doing real quick?
Yeah, he teamed up with the America's Frontline Doctors and is, I think he was the one that filed the lawsuit against the CDC for inflating or misrepresenting their data in terms of how many have died as a consequence of this injection. So he is the lead attorney for a number of lawsuits that they are currently pursuing.
Okay. Very good. He traveled to a certain event at the end of August called the Bard's Fest, which this program actually implored those people to think twice about going there. Why put the best of information sources in one room with 800 or 900 other people in a closed environment when somebody could go in there with an aerosol or put it into the heating and air conditioning system and dose a lot of people with toxic substances? And they went. They went. And I didn't know. 3 weeks later, about September 21st or something thereon, Dr. Tenpenny, September 25th, came out with the new episode 63. And she said, 35 that I know of got sick at the Bard's Fest. and one died, and I got sick too. But I'm feeling better. I'm getting better. This is 3 weeks after the Bard's Fest. She was very seriously ill. Now back to Dr. Thomas Rentz. I was told today that one of his co-attorneys went to the Bard's Fest, also got sick, and was in bed for at least 2 weeks. Said he had never been sicker in his life. So the Bard's Fest was clearly targeted. Dr. Tenpenny still does not look like she feels terrific. So, all right, let me, I'm going to move this up. I'm going to skip this one. All right, 18. All right, here's Dr. Merritt.
For ourselves, do not get remdesivir, do not get on a ventilator. What can we do? Can we write up our requests? Do we bring a lawyer with us? I mean, it's getting pretty horrific in these so-called places of healing.
I really think that, well, I'll tell you, I just found this out. So my husband had actual bacterial or mycoplasmus-like bacteria pneumonia. He had some weird organism. It had nothing to do with COVID. It didn't get better until they put him on antibiotics. And that worked right away. And then he got sick again when they took it off, and then he got better again when they put it back. So that's a pretty good test. But in the process, again, what you're talking about, we were separated. I couldn't go to the emergency room with him, and he was not well. I mean, he was not thinking straight. So they took a guy that's not really thinking straight, that's really ill, and they apparently did not tell him. They gave him the antibiotics, and he started getting better within hours. But then, without telling him, they gave him one of these the monoclonal antibodies. Mm-hmm. Now, if he had COVID, it was months ago. That's one of the problems. And let me just say, I think the biggest problem for doctors in a hospital that mean well are these darn tests. If we stop testing, we would start using our brains again. It's not just that they're overcycling the tests. It's that I looked at the tests and I ran the like 16 base pair or base genomic sequence through BLAST. It turns out the tests put out by the Drosten group, the Louis Pasteur Institute and the CDC that are in common use that have been withdrawn. When you actually go through that genomic sequence, it's testing to human genes. It comes back not SARS-CoV-2. BLAST tells you where the genomic sequence comes from. It doesn't say SARS-CoV-2. It says human genome 8, human genome 3. Every one of them. There are 9 different tests. I tested every one of them through BLAST. They all said that. Now, since I've been saying that, they'll probably change the BLAST thing. But, you know, that's true. And I think that this is a complete fraud. But even smart doctors that I know, when you're trying to tell them, treat them like this was 10 years ago, like you've never heard it. Well, but he's got a positive COVID test. I said, look, that test is it's so bad. It's not just a little bit off. The tests are like a broken clock that gets the right time twice a day. That's how desperately bad they are. Don't pay any attention to them. Start looking at the patient. We have to start looking at the other tests that we know are correct and the patient.
Okay. You got it? I'm real clear there. The test is worthless. If anyone tells you they have COVID, say, how the hell do you know? They don't have a test that works. And the answer, they don't know. All right. Let me jump this up a little bit here to Pilevsky. Okay, he had some good things to say here.
Something on paper that says I have the medical power of attorney for him and vice versa for me.
Maureen, I'm gonna go in for the kill here. Hospitals are not practicing medicine anymore. They're practicing protocols and algorithms.
Right.
They are, if you don't have a COVID shot, they're practically denying you care. If you do have a COVID shot and you're sick with symptoms that look like COVID, it has nothing to do with the shot, and they end up putting you over in a ward that's COVID. They intubate you, they sedate you, and they're basically killing you. They're putting you on medications that are not supposed to be used to treat COVID, and these people are getting kidney failure and dying. And those bodies are not available to the families for a very strange amount of time. So we don't even know what's happening to those bodies after people are dying. And then if you're coming in with an injury and you need hospitalizations and you have a COVID test done, the doctors put you on a COVID ward, and some of those people, if not a lot of those people, are being killed because they're being treated with COVID protocols. So they're getting sedated, whether it's midazolam, whether it's Ativan, and then they're given intubation, and they're given remdesivir, and then they're killed. And the thing is that the doctors are doing Mendelian science. And I use that as an oxymoron. It is complete experimentation and murder. And I swear, if you have to go to the hospital, try dying at home.
I'm not kidding.
Larry, how do you
figure that?
Those are very wise words, not to be dismissed.
Doctors are doing this. I mean, yeah, there are some psychopaths, and there are, you know, some brain dead doctors, but most of aren't in those classes. Why? I mean, I get the idea that they're using the protocols, but usually if we had seen this kind of death rate, we would have said, wait a minute. We would have stepped back and said, wait a minute. I'm going to do something different. This isn't working. Why aren't they doing that?
Well,
are they really all bought?
It's a good question, because, you know, we've gotten word from people who work for Moderna and Moderna, that people who are working for Moderna are being paid an exorbitant amount of money to shut up, and they're having to sign confidentiality agreements in order to shut up. And so I don't know what the hospital administrators are saying to the doctors, but for whatever reason, the doctors have literally stopped practicing medicine. There is no medicine practice. It is rare. It is rare. Everything is COVID related, even if your test is negative. And you're treated like you have no rights.
Remember what Dr. Cole said earlier, and I pointed out the atmosphere of fear and suppression? That's what he's talking about.
You have no say. They're putting stuff into your IVs. They are injecting stuff into you without informed consent. And I don't know if the health problem.
And that's the nurses. So the nurses are doing this too, because you know doctors don't go around and put their own IVs.
But wait. But the nurses are following the doctor's orders.
Right. Exactly.
The nurses are not just gonna. I mean, there's of course some psychopath nurses, but for the most part, they're doing what the doctors tell them to do.
Right. Well, let's.
It's the thing about the bodies either being cremated or not available to the family for days. That's very suspicious.
Yes, I know. And in England, they're saying that mortician in England that spoke out said some are just not there. The number of bodies and the number of deaths aren't matching up.
Okay, there you go. Lots to think about. Lots to process. Please be careful out there. That's our best suggestion to you. Final comment, Erica?
Yeah, do your best to stay out of hospitals.
And away from crowded rooms with other people.
Oh, that too.
We don't know how the shedding is being done exactly. We don't know exactly the mechanism. We certainly suspect the spike protein. We suspect mRNA as well. There could be other things involved. And my neighbor right now is several hundred yards away. He is sick as he can be in bed, and he is not vaxxed.
And so far, his wife is okay?
So far, that'll be an interesting situation
to watch.
Yeah, it will. All right. Thanks for being here. A lot of information. Thank you very much, Erica.
Okay, Jeff. My pleasure. Good evening.
Good night. All right. To all of you, thanks for being here. That's 3 hours of very important information, and I hope you take from it what you will. We'll be back with you tomorrow night. Talk then.
contracted. But mm-hmm. what was staggering about this was the speed in which it contracted. 2.5 months after I started taking Carnivora, that's when those amazing results started coming through. That's why I keep Carnivora very close to the heart. Excuse the pun.
Well, I'll take it. That works beautifully.
Owner Richard Ostro here. We're talking about the power of waking up your immune system, which has healed this gentleman's heart. Perhaps the immune system can be called one of the body's fiercest powers to heal. Visit CARNIVORA.com or call 1-866-836-8735. That's 1-866-836-8735.
Known worldwide as the most consistently fascinating, informative, and unique program on radio, the Jeff Rentz program can be yours to listen to anytime, anywhere, whenever you want to hear it. For pennies a day, our subscribers can download any of Jeff's thousands of programs featuring a treasury of newsmakers, researchers, eyewitnesses, and incredible subjects, all in MP3, commercial-free, crystal-clear 56-bit digital sound, and take these often unforgettable programs with them wherever they go. As a subscriber, you can also listen live at airtime, online, anywhere in the world, or browse through our archives of over 6,000 hours of legendary broadcasts. Subscribe now by taking the link at the top of Rentz.com. And enrich your mind with the most unique panorama of oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and